Man, well, man, it's empty in here today. I thought we'd have more people. I guess it's a long weekend coming. September isn't here yet. People are still out and about. I just want to do something here. First of all, we're going to pray for Kate. Kate has to go to Edmonton tomorrow for some tests, and she's asked for prayer. So we're going to do that as a body right now. And Marlene, why don't you lay your hands on her? And if anybody else feels like it, we're just going to pray for her. Father, again, we thank you for our Kate. Thank you, Lord, that you are always with her. Father, I pray your peace upon her heart as she goes for these tests. And Lord, we pray that the reports of the doctors will be good. They have good reports that will return, that things are healing and improving. And again, Father, we give you the praise and the glory. We thank you for her. We love her. And again, Lord, we thank you that you love her beyond all of us combined can love her. And so again, we thank you for her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And now, we're going to bless Maddie and Hannah. Has Maddie stepped out? She's in the nursery. Okay, I hope she can hear us in the nursery. But let's just pray blessing over them. And that word blessing means we're praying life and the things of God. So, Father, we thank you both for Hannah and Maddie and Jesse, wherever he is right now. Father, we thank you for these children that have been raised up in our church family. We bless them and we send them forth it with prosperity and success in all that they do. Thank you, Lord, that everywhere they set their foot, they are creating holy ground because your presence is on them and within them. Father, I just thank you that you continue to stir up a passion in them for the things that they've been called to. And again, we just also pray for that passion for you, for your word, and for your church. Father, again, we bless them now. We send them out, and we thank you that you are a shield about them, protecting them from the things that would come against them. And we remember the scripture that says, if you are for us, what or who can be against them? And again, we give you glory and praise. We thank you for them. And again, we send them forth with your blessing, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. That's right. Well, this morning I am starting a series, which is really funny because I'm about to take 2 weeks vacation. Not this week, but the following 2 weeks. So it'll be sometime late September where we'll continue on. But I'm going to give you a little bit of meat to chew on, and I hope you will. And so today is just really an introduction to the kingdom. And we read about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom. We hear the kingdom all the time, but what does it mean? And so this morning, this is just part one, we're going to start with this scripture. So above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, then all these less important things will be given unto you abundantly. And this is a Passion Translation. And so Jesus has just sat with these people. He's taught the Beatitudes. He's given them some things. And he's talking to them about the birds of the air, the lilies of the valley. And he says, look how beautiful they are. God did that. Look at the birds. They're not worried about storing up and what they're going to eat and all that kind of stuff. He says, he's putting the truth back in front of them. And he's putting it in front of us too. And he's challenging us. He's writing them and he's straightening things out. You see, when we look at this scripture, Jesus is telling us, he says, so above all else, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. He's showing us Papa is a good provider for his family and that you have value and worth. That's scripture. And then he goes on to say, well, he could have sung it, I don't know. So above all, so let's just stop there. Above all, what is in your life that you're putting above him? He says, so above all of that stuff, above all, constantly seek God's kingdom. So I love, let's stop and look at the constantly seek. You know, one of the things about constantly seeking is we have this idea that it means we're spending 24/7 with our nose in the Bible, and or here at the church, or at a Bible study or in prayer or whatever, but constantly seeking him doesn't mean that. It means what if you're out in the garden and you're picking some weeds or something and you need, you know, Lord, what is this little thing growing here? I've never seen something like that. There's information. God, my family is involved in something I just can't believe they're involved in. Two totally opposite things. Seek his kingdom. How can I minister to them, Lord? Give me wisdom, Lord. How do I speak to them? I know what I want to do. I want to just go and get up in their face. But is that what I'm to do? I'm seeking the kingdom of God. What's your wisdom here, Lord? Constantly seek God and his kingdom. Now we're getting interesting. God's kingdom and his righteousness. Who is his righteousness? I'm not saying what is his righteousness. Who is his righteousness? Jesus. And we are. Because we have become the righteousness of God. Where? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. We're in Christ. So, now, the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Watchman Nee, I think I put this quote up here. Maybe, maybe not. Guess it's not going to go forward.
Well, that's not the first time.
It's not. I'll read it to you, and I don't know if we can get it to go forward. If the little arrow needs to be on the PowerPoint, Ethan, do you know? If you put it on the screen with the PowerPoint, sometimes that makes a difference. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes. I don't know if you have to click in there. So, Watchman Nee says this. The kingdom of God is the reigning of God, and it follows his existence, embracing eternity with no beginning and no end. Wow, that's wordy. But think about God's existence. When we think about God's existence, it's not just that he loves us, but he is love. God doesn't just give us peace. He is our peace. God's not just. He's the righteous judge. He is our joy. He is kindness. He is goodness. He is patience. He is faithfulness. He is gentleness. And he is self-control. And those are just the fruit of the spirits. He is not just our healer. He is healing. He's not just our provider. He's our provision. He is life. He is light. And he is righteousness and holiness. He says, I am. I am. He doesn't say, I will dispense to you. He says, I am. He is the kingdom. His rule, the way he operates, the way he thinks, who he is kingdom. So, I just knocked my mic off. What is the kingdom of heaven? Is there a difference from the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? And actually there is in this way. And again, I'm quoting Watchman Nee, who says, the kingdom of heaven is a part of the whole kingdom. He goes on to explain it this way. The body is a whole. And the hand, it has a distinction, but it's a part of the whole. So is the kingdom of heaven a part of the whole kingdom of God. Is that understanding? That's pretty easy, right? So the kingdom of God is the whole kingdom, and the kingdom of heaven is a part of that whole. And when we read the kingdom of our Lord and our Messiah, the kingdom of Christ and of our God, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, all of that is a part of the whole. It is the one. The kingdom of God, not just the kingdom of heaven. And there are other kingdoms here on earth. We've set up all kinds of kingdoms as mankind. We've set up our systems. We have kings. We've had dictators. We have governmental systems. Well, you name it, there's all kinds of things. And some of them we can say are good and some are evil. but they are constructs of man, and really, they come out of another kingdom. I'm going to talk about that. Let's go back to the beginning. God placed mankind in the garden, and he had prepared the garden for us, and he gave Adam and Eve all that they needed. He blessed them. Blessed them with life. And he gave them a mandate for us to be fruitful, to produce, to create, to make public, and to bring forth. And what are they bringing forth into the earth? The kingdom. They're pulling from heaven's storehouses into the kingdom to benefit all mankind that was to come. And they did that through their relationship with the Lord. They walked in kingdom reality. Next, it said to multiply. Now, we look at that. Pause. Does someone want to help with the doors here? I think Jim's coming in. Thanks. All right. So, multiply. Now, fill the earth, multiply. We think that'll just have lots of children and that. But it's more than that. It's multiply in the kingdom. Bring the kingdom, the experience, the glory and the life that have been given to them into the world. Sorry. I jumped. That's okay. So then it says, fill the earth, and then he says, subdue it. Rule over it. God did something amazing. This earth that is a part of the kingdom of God, all that is created as God's. And he said to his creation, he said to Adam and Eve, to mankind, all that I've just created in here, I want you to subdue it. I want you to rule over it. Have dominion. Take care of this. He's given us direction. Was I wrong? Okay, sorry. He's given us a mandate to do something. And so there they were, Adam and Eve, in the garden, living in this blessed, blissful life under the mandate given them, given us, full of the power and glory of God, of the kingdom of God. Didn't even realize it. They were just doing life because they didn't know anything different. But then, there were a couple of trees in the middle of the garden. And we often say, well, why did God put that tree of the knowledge of good and evil there anyway? But the truth is, it's about love. Love always gives you a choice. Love isn't love if there isn't choice. Love gives choice. And I've heard the story or illustration put this way. If we looked at just the physical act of love and the freedom for two to choose to come into that physical act, the minute you remove freedom from one of them to choose, it becomes something totally different, doesn't it? It becomes rape. And so with this tree there, with it being right there, there was choice. They could choose to keep listening to God because God had set before them, don't eat of that tree. You know what was by it as well? It's the tree of life. They were walking in the garden in kingdom power and kingdom glory. And along comes the enemy. Along comes the serpent. And tempts and deceives Eve. And Adam, it says, it doesn't say he was deceived. He just disobeyed. You always wonder why the fault comes back onto Adam, the sin of Adam. Because Adam was disobedient. They were both disobedient, but Eve was deceived. Adam was disobedient because he knew. You often wonder why they didn't stop and say, huh, I'm going to go ask God about this. But they didn't. Again, they were deceived. What was it that the serpent said? You see, if you eat from the tree, you will be like God. And we all know that's whose image we were created in. But all of a sudden, something stirred in Eve. Hey, that would be good to be like God. Not recognizing she was walking in his glory, created in his image, and all of that. But all of a sudden is, I want to be like God. What was the serpent doing? Well, you see, he used Adam and Eve's disobedience to get them to give over the power and the glory of the kingdom to him. I don't mean that they took it and handed it to him. What happened was what was in them already became something they couldn't see anymore. Well, we know they became fearful, they became shameful, they hid from God. All of those things happened. Guess who's building his kingdom? He's robbed from them the innocence and the truth, and he's taking for himself. But it's a fake, counterfeit kingdom. It imitates what God's kingdom is like, and it is deceiving the world. And as long as we, a mankind, continue to participate in the devil's system, it continues to take the power and glory from us. As believers, the power of the glory lives within you. Christ lives within you. Holy Spirit within you. The kingdom is within you. But if we participate in the world system, we become, I think Scripture puts it this way, our understanding becomes darkened. We don't see, we don't understand who we are in Christ and the power that we have, that we carry kingdom. We carry kingdom in us. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. Now, I'm going to read to you, let's see. Oh, are we moving forward? Ephesians. Now, this is coming in, and I'm just coming here. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Who's the spirit of the air? The prince of the air. Satan, that's right. And where is he at work? In the disobedient. In the disobedient. This kingdom of the air is counterfeit power, imitation love and peace. It's fake honor and value. Now I want you to just think about how the world works right now. Who does it see as powerful? Those with wealth. Where does the world go to get its view and understanding of love? Hollywood. Are you kidding? Or the media? Entertainment. How messed up is that? Oh, you know, the Knight Riding on, you know, oh, just the ridiculousness of it. Even if we look at the stars of Hollywood, and how they see marriage and value marriage and love. And that's where the world goes to get its view of what love is. That's just one of them. I shouldn't say it's all. How about where do they place their value and worth when it comes to people? When it comes to who should reign and who should rule and who should get our awes and accolades? They look to those that look good. Look to those that have the cool stuff. Look to those that have the prestige. Hey, if you're a sports hero, I watched a little program the other day on Kobe Bryant. And when I saw the whole picture of who Kobe Bryant was, I was surprised at some of the things I found out about him. I was like, wow. Yet, and I mean, he was a good basketball player, don't get me wrong. But he was just a man, full of faults and flaws. But oh, Kobe Bryant, right? A worldview that is above who? It's above the Lord. It's a world system way of saying things. Our sports heroes are higher than God. And that's who we should be like. We should be like these people. They're the ones who deserve to speak truth to us. They're the ones that should have the power to lead us. worldly thinking. Now, if we go back to the Old Testament, we look at Israel, and we look at how they chose their first king. It was by choosing someone who had the look. It was Saul. And in 1 Samuel 9:2, it says, he was tall and he was good looking. And it sounds like the way we elect people today. Your prime minister is good looking. I heard it announced the first time Trudeau was elected on the American News Network. Oh, they've got a really good looking prime minister. Okay. How does that serve us? Anyway, so here's what happened. God gave the people of Israel what they wanted, a king, even though his plan was that he would be king to them. But they rejected him as king, as their king, and they wanted the king like everybody else. Look what everybody else is doing. This is how the other nations do it. That's what we want. This is what it said. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to him, listen to all the people, all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. And as they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they do to you, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know that the king who will reign over them will claim what is his right. And we've just read, we have a kingdom here, a counterfeit kingdom, with a counterfeit king who has set himself up over us. His name is Satan, or the Satan, if you're understand Hebrew. I not say I do, I just heard it put that way. He is the Satan, the counterfeit. And he is claiming what's right, his rights. He's saying, I'm king, I get what's right, I get to call out. Truth is, he's a liar. But oh, how the world has given over their glory and power to him. Let the people know that the king who will reign over them, the one you'll let reign over you, the one you'll let speak to your life, he'll claim his rights. And as we've seen in the world today, he's claiming his rights over things. They are false rights because it belongs to us. But unless you see that, unless you follow the king, unless you understand the King of Kings and the Lords and Lords and the glory and the power and the honor that comes to us through him, you're not going to see. You're going to continue to walk in the fake. And when we walk in the flesh, we walk in the fake. We walk in the counterfeit. We're looking to the world. We're looking to the way of the world to fulfill our needs. Yet Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these trivial things will be added to you in abundance. What's the trivial things? Food, clothing, shelter. He says, I know you have need of those things. But man, don't let them be your focus. Let God be your focus. 2 Corinthians, I think I missed a point here. Just let me go back a page. I want you to think about how Satan sees himself and has set himself over, and I want you to go back to the desert with me where Jesus has been fasting for 40 days after he's been baptized. And Satan has come along and tempted him, but one of the things Satan says, and I'm going to ask, does somebody have, would they stand up and read? Do you still have the mic, Ralph? Matthew 8, verses 8 to 10. Is anybody willing to read that? Okay. Ralph, can I get you to take the mic to Valera? And the reason is, no, because it has to go online. So thank you. Sorry about that. We're not trying to put you on the spot for that, but we want our online viewers to listen.
8 to 10. The centurion replied, Lord, oh. I do not deserve to have you come under my roof.
Is that 8? Maybe it's 7. I'm sorry. Matthew?
7?
Is it 7? I'm sorry. I probably wrote down the wrong one here.
Asking.
Yeah, it should be the temptation of Jesus.
Chapter 4.
Oh, that's what that number is. No, it's Matthew 4. Yeah. I apologize. I scribbled out and put on top, and I thought, is that 7? Is that 8? But it's 4. I apologize. Sorry, Valera. Okay. Matthew 4, 8 to 10.
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.
All right, thank you. So here we have the devil saying, look at all the kingdoms of this world. They're mine to give you. And Jesus didn't buy into it. The kingdoms of this world are what? They're all a part of the kingdom of God. They all belong to God. Even the evil ones, God will straighten them out in the end. They all belong to God. And here's Jesus saying, nope, he goes to the word, right? 2 Corinthians says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that is displayed, that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The God of this age is blinding the minds of unbelievers, those disobedient. But we're going to go somewhere here. We're going to go to Ephesians, and we're going to read that full chapter. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thought. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Not by works, so that anyone can boast, for you are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance. My favorite part of this is there's a big but in there. I love big buts. But because of his great love, we look at all the things it says. He says, that's what we were a part of at one time. But those of us who have come to believe, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by his grace that we are saved, not by what we've done. And he's done something incredible. He has restored us back to the kingdom and the heavenly realms with the power and the glory in Christ Jesus. All the power and the glory in Christ Jesus is in us. Are you in Christ Jesus? Yes, you are if you're a believer and you believe his word. So here's the kingdom being restored back to us. Not anything we've done. It's by what he's done. For it is by grace you have been saved. He says he's raised us up and seated us with him in heavenly realms in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace. Don't you like that? He's showing it through us. His incomparable riches of his grace. It's expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Again, it's by grace we have been saved. We can't boast. It's a gift given to us. God's work, God's workmanship in us, his power and his kingdom in us. Why? Because we've been created to do something, to do good works. He created those good works in advance before he even created the kingdom. We think back to Adam and Eve walking in power and glory. That's what he wants. He wants us walking in the kingdom power and the kingdom glory. And it's all been done through the blood of Jesus and the kindness of the Lord. We have something great in the kingdom. So above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these least important things will be given unto you in the way God always does it, abundantly. We're going to stop there this morning. And I hope that's enough to start chewing on the kingdom. That's just a little tiny taste of it. Next time we're going to look at what it means to take the kingdom by violence. But as Jesus talking about that. But let's pray. And if you want to stand, give your legs a stretch. Wake yourselves up out of the comfy. And then I'll also pray for the food. And then we'll get set up for some lunch together. Father, again, we come before you and we are thankful. You are. You are Papa. And Father, we thank you that you have restored kingdom to us again. As we choose to stand and seek your kingdom, we have power, we have authority in the earth to subdue it, to bring the influence of heaven here into the earth, the kingdom of heaven into the earth. So Father, as we go today, let us remember everywhere we go, we are bringing your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be the center of our lives, not just number one, but the center, that all that flows from us flows from the center. And that is you, Jesus. That is you, our Papa. That is you, our great and mighty God, Holy Spirit, working through us. So God, I just bless, I speak blessing on everyone. May we go in your peace, in your hope, and your joy, and take to the world the kingdom, the mandate you called us to. Subdue and fill the earth with the glory of the Lord. Amen.